Thank you for joining me today. When we left off yesterday, I told you that I want to talk with you about the holiness of God. God is holy, H-O-L-Y. And I want to talk about this in two main ways, and both of the ways are related. I want to demonstrate to you from the Bible that God himself is holy. This is who he is. God's holiness is the core of his identity as God. God is God because God is holy. God cannot be God if God is not holy. And then later I want to show you that we too are called to be holy, and so when we speak of God's holiness, we do not speak of some far-off, theoretical, only theological sort of dreamy reality that's unable to connect with our real lives down here on planet Earth. God is holy, and so too he commands us to be holy, and we'll come to that. But to begin with, let's be certain that we do not reshape God in our image like we talked about yesterday. Let's make sure that we understand what the Bible means when it says that God is holy. And so today I want you to lift up your eyes with me to heaven. One of the most important tasks I have every day right here on God Is will be to encourage you to look up from your life, upward from your circumstances, whatever those may be, to God, and to see Almighty God in all his majesty and glory is to witness him in the Bible, because it's through the Holy Bible that we meet Holy God. To do this, I want to introduce you to two men in the scriptures, separated by a long stretch of time, but both who had clear visions from God of heaven. And what they both saw so obviously was the holiness of God. Those of you proficient in the Bible may know Isaiah and John, but some of you have never heard of them before, and still others are vaguely familiar with them. So whoever you are, come along with me on these journeys into heaven. If you're able to right now, if not, do so later, turn with me to the Old Testament book of Isaiah. And when you get there, put a finger in chapter 6. Those of you who do not know, the name Isaiah means, "The Lord is salvation." And God used Isaiah as a prophet around the city of Jerusalem between the years 739 and 686 BC. That's 739 and 686 BC. That it was during the reign of four Old Testament kings, Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. At this time, the nation of Israel, as we think of it today, was a divided kingdom, north and south. The north was called Israel, and the south was called Judah. Isaiah lived and prophesied in the south, Judah. And Isaiah was not some poor, disheveled, uneducated, wild man living out in the country. He came from a family of good reputation with a strong social network. We know this because he had ready access to the king. Isaiah was willing to be a prophet, but he knew well what the nature of the ministry meant. He would be largely ignored, isolated, and that his message, given to him by God, would not be taken seriously, not listened to, and not acted upon. And that's a tough job to take willingly. Imagine knowing that the word you believe with all your heart, the very message that God has given to you, and that you speak so passionately about will be flat out ignored. Well, that's what Isaiah will face. Also, Isaiah could really write. He had a tremendous gift in writing. And the lengthy book, Isaiah is 66 chapters long, that we now read reflects the beauty and richness of his words. This prophecy also includes what many who know the Bible well consider the most important chapter in the entire Old Testament. That is Isaiah 53. In that chapter is an explicit prophecy about the life and death of Christ that has clear fulfillment in the New Testament. The chapter states, still in the Old Testament, the Gospel. You should read it and become very familiar with Isaiah 53. But today, I want to take us into chapter 6, and what we're going to read about is a vision that Isaiah had of the Lord in heaven. As usual, much can be said of this, but I want to focus first not on God, but rather on the seraphim. And you're probably wondering, what are seraphim? I'll explain, but first let me just read Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3. Hear now the word of God in Isaiah 6, verses 1 through 3. In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, lofty and exalted, with the train of his robe filling the temple. Seraphim stood above him, each having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy, is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. When Isaiah had this vision, he, in Jerusalem, was in the temple, the real physical temple. He was likely there because the king had died. Perhaps he went there for comfort and to seek the Lord on behalf of Judah's people. The text says, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw." But what he now sees by the revelation of God is the heavenly temple. So the Spirit of God is now directing Isaiah's attention heavenward. And what does he see? The Lord is seated on his throne. He is lofty and exalted. And the Lord wears a robe that fills the whole heavenly temple. Wow! I'd love to spend the remainder of our time there. But now listen to verse 2. Seraphim stood above him. Who is him? The Lord God. And what are seraphim? The best way to answer that is to say that seraphim are an order of angelic creatures. Please note, they are creatures who God has created. In that sense, they are like us. God has made them to serve him. And next time, I'm going to tell you about other angelic creatures like seraphim, but let's stick to Isaiah's vision for now. Seraphim are angelic creatures, and in Isaiah's vision, they each have six wings, and each set of wings has a specific purpose. With two of the wings, the seraphim covered his face. With two of the wings, the seraphim covered his feet. And with the remaining two wings, the seraphim flew. So they used their wings to cover their faces, to cover their feet, and to fly. But why do they use their wings, especially to cover their faces and to cover their feet? The answer is this. They live in the presence of Holy God. The glory of God is so majestic and powerful that they cannot stand to look at the Lord. So they cover their faces. And they covered their feet to acknowledge what a low and humble status they had in the Lord's presence. Many of you will remember the encounter Moses had before the Lord at the burning bush in Exodus chapter 3. I will not take time to read that now, but immediately the Lord told him the place where he was standing was holy ground. It is holy space because holy God is there. And as Moses covered his face, so the seraphim do the same. I want you to understand this clearly. Creatures cannot look directly at God. Creatures cannot stand in God's presence without dealing with creaturely feet. Why? Because God is holy. Now you say, well, in order for the seraphim to be there, they must also have been holy because nothing unholy can be in heaven. True, very true. But even though the seraphim did not sin, still, God's holiness is that robust and penetrating. They couldn't look, and they covered their feet. By the way, they also speak. In the vision, Isaiah can hear them. Let me read again verse 3. This is Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. And one called out to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Did you hear what they said? Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Three times they used the word holy to describe who God is. God is holy. Here, I want to do something I do not normally do, and that is to give you a lengthy quote. I quote good theologians all the time, but usually not in any length. But these words come from a pastor, author, and theologian who I think describes this passage perfectly. His name is R.C. Sproul, and his book is The Holiness of God. I commend it to you. It's not long, just 156 pages, but it is rich, and it's a classic. Actually, Dr. Sproul is now with the Lord. He died at the end of 2017. But listen to what he writes about Isaiah chapter 6 and verse 3. Quote, "The song is a repetition of a single word, holy. Three times the word is sung in succession. The song is called the Trihagion, which means simply the three times holy. The significance of the repetition of the word holy can easily be missed. It represents a peculiar literary device that is found in Hebrew forms of literature, especially in poetry. The repetition is a form of emphasis." Sproul continues, the Old Testament Jew had different techniques to indicate emphasis. One such device was the method of repetition. We see Jesus' use of repetition with the words, "Truly, truly, I say to you." Here, the double use of truly was a sign that he was about to say something of crucial importance. On a handful of occasions, the Bible repeatedly says something to the third degree. To mention something three times in succession is to elevate it to the superlative degree, to attach to it emphasis of super importance. And then really listen to Dr. Sproul now. Only once in sacred scripture is an attribute of God elevated to the third degree. Only once is a characteristic of God mentioned three times in succession. The Bible says that God is holy, holy, holy. Not that he is merely holy or even holy, holy. He is holy, holy, holy. The Bible never says that God is love, 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 or mercy, 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 or wrath, 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 or justice, justice, justice. It does say that he is holy, 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 that the whole earth is full of his glory, end quote. Thank you, Dr. Sproul, for this. My friends, God is holy. This is who he is. This is what Isaiah saw. This is what Isaiah heard. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. And when you come back tomorrow, I will be here, and we'll go over to the final book of the entire Bible. We'll go to the book of the Revelation of Jesus Christ to once again see the truth about God. And what is the truth about God? God is holy.